Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire, your number one source for patriotic truth. That's Connor. That's Ryan. Back in the captain's chair is Sean. It's good to be gone. Good to stay some time in the country, up in the mountains.
How are the Bears doing?
They're doing awesome.
Right, it's good.
And,
we told the people you're hanging out with Bears.
It was true.
I believe it was wrestling Bears.
Wrestling Bears,
I did not wrestle a bear.
You didn't do a cage match?
No, I did not. All right. But it is good to be back. Today we're going to be talking about Kamala Harris dropping out of the race, as well as Macron and Trump going at it mano a mano. Please comment below. What do you think? Are you happy Kamala fell out, or did you know it was going to happen? Or who do you think will win, Macron or Trump, if they came to an old dukaroo? I have my money on the Trumpster. But before we do that, please like the video, share it if you can. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, hit the notifications button. That way you'll know whenever a new episode is up. And as always, if you want a deeper insight into the way we think, or you want to buy some of the Freedom Wire swag, please go to freedomwire.com. Go to the store tab if you want to buy something. Go to the search bar if you want to read something. All right, let's get into this.
Do we have some farewell music for Kamala? Do we have any?
No, we don't.
Do the rocket thing.
No.
Okay.
No, but we will do.
Congratulations.
No, that's not it.
You're fired. Get out of here.
Yeah.
The voters told her that.
Yeah.
Primary Rose, we're not having it.
Poor Kamala. I'm kidding.
On paper, she had everything going for her. In real life, she just couldn't make it happen.
She was the most unlikable person on that stage. I'm not even going to say woman. She was just the most unlikable person.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I like Spartacus better than I like her. I mean, I couldn't think of one Democratic candidate that I liked less than her. Everybody, maybe Tom Steyer. Like he's a bit of a just like a schlep. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah, she's just a very unlikable woman.
She had that smugness reminiscent of Hillary Clinton in 2016, where it seems like, you know, a career politician who's gonna come in and tell you how to do everything because for some reason she knows better.
You know where you really seen her smugness on display is during any Senate hearing when she was talking to someone.
The Kavanaugh ones.
Yeah, she was just very just smug and just unlikable. So, Kamala, happy trails. But
don't be getting a daytime talk show. Anytime.
Yeah, nobody likes you. Sorry.
Hey, she's an intersectional female politician. She will probably land on her feet. Write a book at some point.
Yeah, what happened?
She's going to be fine.
What happened, Kamala?
What happened, part two?
Kamala Harris.
The Kamala Chronicles.
Premiering this Saturday on TNT.
It'll be Lifetime.
The problem is, she ran into our favorite Democratic candidate, Tulsi Gabbard. And by favorite, we mean prettiest.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, she does have a few conservative viewpoints. Or at least things that align.
But she's a Russian agent.
And at least you can respect her
on her military service.
Her general personality. It's not.
And have you heard her on Rogan?
Yeah.
She's fun. Mm-hmm. Sorta.
Yeah, she
drops an F bomb on Rogan.
She can be very serious too sometimes. That kind of lighten up. Anyway, we're not going to spend this much time. We're talking about Kamala. But Tulsi definitely took Kamala out in that one debate and she never recovered.
Never recovered.
Because Kamala had her 15 seconds of fame in the first debate against Biden.
I was that young girl, and then we found out you weren't.
You weren't, and also you supported the same policies that Creepy Joe supported. So,
there was multiple signs, multiple red flags with Kamala, it seems like she couldn't. Every time she would gain a little bit of speed or a little bit of momentum, she would get tripped up by one of these red flags. And I don't know, you know, if she just was that inept I shouldn't say inept. You know what it was like? It was like watching somebody at Thanksgiving dinner pile the mashed potatoes a little too high, pile the turkey and the gravy a little too high.
She put a little, she was trying to put, yeah.
She tried to,
bit off a little bit more than she could chew.
That's exactly it. She bit off a little bit more than she could chew.
Well, they just goes to show you all these red flags in California are a bad thing.
Well, and they kind of, that SNL sketch, if you guys saw that, where that was kind of what they're getting at, I think, a little bit, is she was putting on way too much. Like, she was like, I'm America's cool aunt or whatever. Like, she's trying too hard, and it was pretty transparent. I thought she wasn't real.
And one of the things that I thought was terrible was when she tried to get the entire Democratic, you know, candidate stage to follow her lead and say, we should ban Donald Trump from Twitter. And it was crickets. That's what it was. It's like, well.
Yeah, that was her slam. It was supposed to be her slam on Elizabeth Warren, is that she won't support Trump being banned from Twitter. And Warren's like,
And nobody else did either.
No, they're like, who cares? Like,
and that's the whole thing, is like, she doesn't, like, all that, people got to understand that while right now these people on the stage, while they are trying to appeal as much as they can to the Democrats and the left, they have to, are we keeping you awake?
No. We're talking about Kamala Harris in the debate. That's going to automatically bore me.
So, you know, wow, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, Kamala
Harris.
They're
trying to appeal to a broad base.
Yes, yes. Well, no, but they have to remember.
They got a short amount of time to do it, too.
Well, not only that, then.
They need to be appealing to the entirety of America if they want to win.
And that's why I think Tulsi has a leg up on everybody. And that's what's going to, again, we need to whittle this field down. 24 at the highest, but like, now we have people dropping out and people jumping in.
Bullock, who even knew he was running?
Yeah, I don't even know who he is.
Bloomberg, who came out of nowhere, is doing a whole different strategy, but has passed most of them in just a week or so.
Yeah, but if Hillary decided to jump back in, she would blow by everybody.
Oh, yeah, we all know that. And that's why I'm sure they're all afraid of Hillary Clinton jumping in.
I hope she does.
Many, many people.
Conservatives want Hillary to get in. The Democratic politicians who are hoping to become president do not. Hillary sucks all the air out of a room, and suddenly everything is about her.
You could have stopped that. Sucks.
Hillary sucks. Yeah.
That's such a weak field, though, man. I mean, just objectively speaking, not even just because I'm a conservative, but just objectively speaking, that field's weak, and they know it.
And you saw, like I said earlier, on paper, Kamala Harris should have done really well. She hit all those intersectional points that everybody loves to talk about. She was a woman. She was a person of color. All this stuff that should have made her, you know, move to the front. But when she started falling behind for all these various reasons, like those red flags that kept tripping her up that you were talking about, she kept saying, you know, it's because of sexism and racism. Racism and sexism are the reasons why I'm not pulling ahead. Well, at that point, the only people who could support her were Democrats. So basically what she was saying is the Democratic base is racist and sexist because they're not voting for me. She couldn't accuse anything.
And here's the thing, though. Hottie Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard. She hits all those intersectional points as well. She is a person of color. She's Polynesian. She's a woman. She's not only that, she's a veteran and a current reservist. You know, she hits even more to me than Kamala did. Even though I guess you could say Kamala's background was more steeped in ethnicity,
and that goes to show it's not all about race. It should be about, you know, actual merits of the individual. Right. But of course, we're not going to ever talk
and
about
not,
that.
Not for nothing. Tulsi is at odds with almost everybody in her party, especially
the
Clintons.
Which is why she won't get the nomination. Yeah. Then again, Trump was for a long time in that he was at odds.
We've said it here, or I've said it before. Yeah. Tulsi's the one I'm scared of the most. And I'm hoping that she stays bottom of the pack because I don't think Trump could out-debate her. And he couldn't. What's he going to attack on her?
And I think it's pretty interesting how, despite the fact they've put her way at the back, there have been all these attacks against her, Hillary Clinton saying she's a Russian agent, shadow banning, and the stuff with Google censoring her search results and everything, she's still managing to torpedo people's, like, other people's careers to the point where, yeah, maybe she won't pull ahead, but she'll make sure that a lot of other people fall before she has to drop out.
Well, it just goes to prove that this primary, we haven't even gotten to the first primary. We've already had one. Harris was surging for a while there in the polls, and now she's out.
Yeah, she was top three at one point.
Especially after that first debate.
I think she dropped into maybe top four.
She's down like 3 or 4%. Like, she's dropped. She plummeted.
Well, there's only
by the way, Elizabeth Warren's dropping now, too.
There's only there was only three or four.
In double digits.
In double digits.
Yeah, it's Warren, Sanders, Biden, and I think Buttigieg is now.
Buttigieg pulled up.
I'm talking about the national polls. Yeah. No, Buttigieg is actually, a couple of polls have him leaving New Hampshire right now and doing well in Iowa. So those are the two earliest states, obviously.
God, I hate polls.
But doesn't Biden have kind of the Trump thing going right now? Because, I mean, Trump in 2015, he just could say anything. We've never seen that in politics anymore. Things that should have killed other candidates. Like Trump is just like, his polls can never skip going up. Biden can't. And it's not even fair to Trump to say that, because Biden literally can't even put a sentence together, and he's not dropping.
You know what?
Still up by double digits in the national polls.
I'm gonna make a captain's decision right now. We're not gonna touch Trump and Macron today. Let's stick with Biden.
Yeah,
because
there's more than enough weird Biden stuff that has come out in the last 3-4 days to
that video. So the video that surfaced of him talking about his time in the pool and his blonde-haired legs
as a lifeguard or something.
So that whole thing, creepy. But that was creepy. But what's even better is the animation that somebody went ahead and did quickly about this whole thing is beyond hilarious. Beyond hilarious. If you haven't seen it, just search in YouTube Biden cartoon.
Or Biden lifeguard cartoon or something.
Leg hair but cartoon or something like that.
It's blonde leg hair.
And it was, it's hilarious. When I first saw that, I was like, wow, that was quick. The internet is the most glorious thing ever. But the fact that it can be that fast with something.
I wonder what Corn Pop thought.
See Biden telling that story at all about
cockroaches,
letting kids play with his leg hair and having them climb up into his lap. That's a weird story to tell in any context.
I love it when kids jump in my lap.
It's really weird to tell that story into a microphone in front of an audience.
And stutter while you're doing it.
Stutter while you're doing it, trying to seem relatable.
Are we sure Biden didn't have any ties to Epstein?
I don't know.
He
seems like he's doing okay on his own.
He didn't need to
get involved in that.
Yeah, he is a very awkward person. Like, maybe it's because, my family is very stoic, but seeing that level of affection with people you don't know.
I can't stand that people that, especially people you don't know well, they come up and they start talking, like putting their hands on you. I'm like, no.
Yeah, why you gotta touch
me? As it turns out, we're also not big fans of him being that affectionate with people he does know. You saw he was nibbling on his wife's fingers while she was speaking. That was just a little bit weird.
It is, but that one I kind of forgive. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, if you watch the whole video, she was talking with her hands and it almost hit him in the face.
Oh, so he was just...
So he like backed up and he was like, oh, and it got a little reaction from the crowd. So she put her hand back up there and he went like that. And it was in context.
Okay, I watch the whole video. It's actually, he's trying to be funny.
In context, it makes sense.
In context, it makes sense.
A weird thing to see a politician.
The kid, right. The leg hair and the kid one of the lifeguards.
That should be enough right there.
Yeah, the finger bite thing wasn't half as weird as the story about the leg hair. Leg hair Joe. Holy cow.
It's not the fact that we found out about the leg hair thing that's weird. It's the fact that he made this big public statement telling a story about little kids at a pool playing with his leg hair and him enjoying it. That's the creepy part.
That is so creepy. When you put it like that, little kids playing with his leg hair in the pool.
Yeah.
That is just weird.
I don't even know how that comes out of one's mouth.
I don't know. Something about...
Much less something to be, like, proud of, and people will relate to me
and talking about cockroaches.
My leg hair.
And what the cockroaches thing?
Corn Pop coming at him with a straight razor and weird stories all strung together.
Here's the question. Are they true? Do you guys think the story about about Corn Pop and the blonde leg hair is true, or do you think it's just like him trying to connect?
Remember, he comes from the black community.
I can't see any way that he would make that up because of how horrible it makes him look.
But here's the thing. This is in all seriousness. Have you ever been around somebody with dementia?
Yes.
That was very reminiscent. That whole story is very reminiscent about being around somebody that either has Alzheimer's or dementia or something. Just talking, it was almost nonsensical.
This is what I was getting at earlier. It's like, this is amazing to me that Joe Biden, and again, he's been a gaffe master his whole career, but these aren't gaffes. These are just, he's literally losing his mind. I mean, honestly, there's a big difference. I mean, people forgive him. You know, it was almost part of his charm. Oh, there goes Uncle Joe again. He's saying something like, but now it's just like, I can't remember what state he's in. He can't put a sentence together. He's talking about random stories from
slurring.
Slurring his words. Yeah, slurring is very, and he's leading in the national polls still. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like,
when he was Obama's wacky sidekick, it was almost endearing.
Right.
But now to try to say, oh, we're going to take the sidekick and put him in charge of the country.
Yeah, and the moment they'll Biden.
That's when it gets a little bit weird.
And here's the thing.
Obama Biden memes or whatever. Yeah.
Here's the thing. How do you think, honestly, how do you think Biden would hold up under the pressure of a presidential debate with Donald Trump?
Well, I don't
know. And here's the thing. Not that Donald Trump is a great debater.
No, but he throws stuff at you and you got to be able to handle it.
Right.
Like, it's not like, it doesn't mean
it's going
like
to be, it'll be constant attacks on Joe Biden. He won't be like,
and he'll call him right out to his face. How, like, do you see this guy? He can't put a sentence together. Like,
Biden starts flubbing on live TV when Trump's right next to him, you know for sure that's all he's going to talk about for the rest of the debate because that's just how Trump attacks people.
But even scarier, if he became president, how would he hold up under that?
Well, that's, that's what Trump would take advantage of.
Right.
And again, it comes down. I say that all the time. America, it will not pick a weak candidate. That's just not who we are. And that more than anything is why I believe Trump will win again in 2020, unless they put Tulsi Gabbard up, because she is not a weak candidate. Everybody else is weak.
But they're not going to.
We'd sooner pick an unlikable person than a weak person.
Right.
Which is why Trump was so successful. Because sure, a lot of people didn't like him, but he gave off like a strong presence, and he made it seem like both domestically and abroad, I will defend this country, and we believed him.
And he's
doing it. Exactly. Because
and here's the thing: you put Warren up, she's just too soft. You put Biden up, he's too mentally unstable. You put Bernie up, he's too crazy with his socialistic views.
And
you put Buttigieg up, Buttigieg is this tall. Trump is towers over him. Trump is 6'3". This dude's like 5'6".
Remember when they accused him of looming over Hillary Clinton during the one debate? He was in the background, like 10 feet away. It was just the camera angle because Clinton is small and Trump is that big in a room.
It did kind of look like he was falling around. I bet he was doing that. Was a little gamesmanship, though. I actually think he did do that on purpose.
I'm sure that was part of it, but it's not like
always with this. The one thing that always got me in that debate, he kept doing that. I've still never figured that one out. But.
Well, maybe he was stuffy. Look at me.
All three debates? And all three?
Here's the thing,
Sean,
man.
Sean mutes his mic like
that's true.
Four
you are
times
a snot, he is a snot every, monster. This is a true fact.
Every time we do, how many times do you guys see me do this? I have to mute it.
Mute your mic so you can sniffle.
But anyway, but Trump definitely, I think, did a little gamesmanship there, actually. I think he definitely was trying to throw her off a little bit.
That could be. I don't know. But
he's good at doing that in general.
But here's the thing. The takeaway from this is Biden is creepy. And America needs to wake up to this fact soon. Like, it was funny up to a point, but it's getting creepier. The hair sniffs, the weird stories. Come on, America. Wake up. Yeah. Wake up here. And I don't mean America. I shouldn't say America. I should say the left.
Just Biden supporters.
Listen, leftists.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of them internally, they're freaking out that he'll be the nominee. Any of them will be the nominee. And Biden's definitely won. I mean, why do you think Bloomberg got in? He saw an opening. Because if he thought they had strong, he wouldn't have gotten in. Wasted $30 million or whatever he's putting
on. Was it $37 million?
Just for advertising.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
He dropped a fortune on just ads right out
of
the
gate. He didn't. Tom Steyer pulled a Trump, though. He pulled a move out of Trump's playbook.
Wait, is he funding his campaign?
Nope. He bought keep America great?
So he's trolling him.
So he got it before Trump.
So he got it before Trump. So if you go there, and it's they sell bumper stickers that says Trump is a fraud and a criminal.
You mean they don't have a? He doesn't have a giant plane that's got a Steyr on it, like Trump and Trump.
I don't know. Somehow them buying Trump's website doesn't seem as impactful.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Well, if it was a better candidate.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like you were saying, that comparison between Trump and Biden, how nothing sticks to him. Trump is Teflon, and we all know that. Like
Teflon down.
It does not matter what he says. It just doesn't. It just rolls right off him. That thing he said that, you know, we got a little bit of blowback for saying, I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and wouldn't lose supporters. Obviously, that's not a great thing to say, but he's making a point, and it's kind of scarily true. The thing with Biden, he's kind of the same way, just by accident. Nothing seems to stick to him, but he's bumbling his way through it instead of just letting it roll off him. Like, yeah, things that should be the end of him.
There was something that you just reminded me of, something else I wanted to touch on real quick. One of the things that was going on Twitter this morning, because that's become my new favorite obsession, was the leftists were comparing Bloomberg and Trump's billions. So Bloomberg is like 27 or 37 billions, has 37 billion, Trump has 3.1 billion. Who cares? It's
income inequality.
It's a billion and a, or it's three or $2.5 billion than most people will ever have. Wait. More than that. $2.9 billion more than most people will ever have.
And also, here's the thing. What does it matter how much Trump has versus Bloomberg? Trump is the president, so I feel like he's winning. But yeah, he might not have as much money in the bank account, but...
But you know who does care about that? It's probably Trump.
Trump probably won that, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Let's be honest. That's true.
Let's see how many people richer than Trump have been invited to, like, dinners at the White House and stuff. But
but who cares? You know who's richer than Trump? Every Silicon Valley, you know, startup guy.
Bill Gates.
We could go down the list. Zuckerberg. Who cares?
The Google founder, Sergey Brezhnev, or
Elon Musk, PayPal. All these guys have billions of dollars. They made it quick, and they made a lot of money really fast. Trump came up the old-fashioned way through New York real estate. That's
back when Manhattan was an asshole. It really was. I mean, back when it was a crime-ridden city. It was struggling.
Look at F-bomb.
I'm cleaning up my language. It's my New Year's resolution a little bit earlier.
Congratulations, guys.
It's a shit hole. Oh, no, I did it. Oh, so close to not swearing.
Right when I was about to say we could, like, click the kid-friendly.
The 70s in New York City were a shithole. Sorry.
Did it twice.
Yeah. If you look at the old footage, because I wasn't around in the 70s, but there you can go in the rat infested.
Sean remembers.
Corruption. There's all this stuff. And Trump.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Trump like, yeah, I'm going to build a tower in Manhattan. Because he was coming from Queens back then. That was where his dad's business was. So that was quite gutsy at the time, and it panned out.
He took that small loan of $1 million.
Yeah, it was more than a million, let's be honest. But anyways, either way, he still built it into a... it doesn't matter. Like, they make a big deal of that. And you know what another thing doesn't matter about Trump is... I actually think I wish he actually would have made a better case for it. It's like, I think actually his failings in businesses, you know, like some of the stuff that went bankrupt, is actually, it would have been a good thing for him to say, this is capitalism. I take risk. This is what happens sometimes. You win, you lose. But look, I fought back in the 90s and early 2000s. I was as rich as I ever was.
Right.
So when they're like, oh, he was a failure business. No, he wasn't. He failed.
If you don't fail, you don't learn anything.
But right. He took some chances. They didn't work out. It's called capitalism. And he didn't need the government's money to do it. He used his own.
Yeah,
you got these people who never lose a job, never know what it's like to rebound, and then they're career politicians. Like Bernie Sanders has never lost a job because he's never had a job. He's only ever been a politician. What does he know about how to recover?
They know nothing about having skin in the game. They use everybody. It's like any other liberal. They want to use everybody. And I mean this across the board in the government. If you're a career politician, you don't have skin in the game. You don't know what it's like to risk things. You risk other people's money. You risk taxpayers' money. You gain nothing. At least Trump has gone out there and put himself on the line. And he has succeeded when he has needed to succeed.
I just heard a really good quote about that. I forget who it was by, but it's basically saying that democracy will only survive up until the government realizes they can bribe the people with their own money. To where now they'll run on campaign platforms. The thing that was next
Andy
to that.
Yang.
And then Andrew Yang's quote of, I'm literally trying to give everyone free money. Dude, it's our money.
It's our money.
Just stop taking it. Like, at least say, oh, we'll take less of your money. It's, no, we're going to take your money.
And repackage
then,
it.
And then repackage it and give it back to you. And then you say, thank you.
That's called marketing.
Yeah, we're your friendly government. We're giving you money. Nope, they're just taking our
look
money.
Look at his face. I think that just dawned on him.
No. I'm trying to withhold my swearing, so.
The government does not provide goods. It's not a business. It doesn't have money that it can give us.
Not to mention
that's not what AOC says.
Yeah.
She says it's not free stuff. It's public goods.
Well, they talk about that with, like, tax cuts.
That
like,
just sounds like free stuff with
but
extra
even, like,
steps.
In tax cuts, the lingo, when they're talking about they gave tax cuts to the rich, or go, you mean let them keep their own money? More of their own money? I mean, what do you mean they gave? They call them giveaways. Like, as if they gave them, like, money or something.
They always have this language where they talk about themselves as though they are providing things to you. Like, gun buybacks. We didn't buy the guns from them. They are taking the guns.
Yeah, call them what what it is. Force confiscation. Yeah.
Legalized plunder.
With a monetary reward.
So let me see if I got this straight. You're going to pay me with the money you took from me to give you the gun that I bought with my own money.
And
pay
tax on
and
as well.
Tax, exactly.
Yeah, it's legal. Frederick Bastiat years ago called it legalized plunder, and I think that's a good way to put it.
It is.
It's really what it is. It's like, they're just pirates, basically.
Yeah.
Coming for the booty.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. It is an interesting life now that we live in a great time. It's an amazing time to be alive. We have more things than we've ever had. We have so many things, we have to make up our own problems.
It really is true. I mean, if you think about it, it's like a lot of these stuff aren't problems.
It's marketing 101. You invent a problem nobody has and sell a product to fix it.
You know who no longer has problems? Kamala Harris, because she's done.
Dead people.
Dead people.
America's got 99 problems, but Kamala Harris ain't
Kamala
one.
Kamala Harris ain't one.
Oh, good thing you said that, because I was going to say something else.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, please like the video, share it, comment below. What do you think about any of the multiple things with which we talked about? Is Biden creepy? Are you happy Kamala's dropped out? Is Tom Steyer? Is he a creep? Is Mini Mike gonna make some kind of a impact on the Democratic? I hate saying that, but I said it. On the Democratic hopefuls. We'll see. Comment below. Please, also, if you haven't already, what's that word? Subscribe. Subscribe to the channel and also hit the notifications button. That way you'll know when we're up and running with our next episode. Also, one last time, if you want a freedom mug, a hat, or you want to see how this man thinks, that man thinks.
No, don't come up there.
Or this man thinks. Please go to freedomwire.com. If you want the swag, go to the store tab. If you want information, go to the search tab.
Christmas season is upon us. It's now officially December. Time to start buying gifts for your favorite Patriots.
Happy holidays. Don't say Merry Christmas.
Are you guys buying these for your family?
I mean, they might be watching this right now, so I'm not going to give that away.
I'll consider it. I will consider it.
I don't think they watch this, actually.
Yeah. I would buy for my liberal family members, but they're too valuable to just get broken in a fit of rage.
I mean, what could there possibly be wrong with this? Number one, patriotic truth and freedom.
Those are their three least favorite words.
Patriotic truth.
And freedom.
And freedom. That's four words.
Well, they're okay with the word and.
Okay, I was
but don't worry, if we buy it for our family, you should buy it for yours.
So please, support the podcast, buy some stuff, and we'll see you next time. As always, stay free, America.